Hello and welcome to the Raise Them In Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. You know, I love this. I love this opportunity we can talk and share. And I can reach out to you, you can reach back to me, and we can just bounce ideas. I can even share what the Lord has given me. And today, I think, it's a topic that's pretty near and dear to my heart, something I've been wrestling with quite a bit. And a lot of these topics is what they are. They're things that I've been wrestling with, and I know if I, as a single parent, have been wrestling with them, there's other parents out there that have been wrestling with them, especially being a male single widow parent. I mean, there's a variety of things out there that we deal with, that we struggle with, that we could really use some help with. And so, you know, I don't always have a large group of people to deal and bounce ideas off of, so I've got a small group of people that I share, a small village or tribe, as some people would like to say, and I bounce ideas off of. And this topic has come up a lot over the last several days and maybe even weeks, and dealing with parenting going into the holiday season, and especially as we're looking at the end of the year and going into the next phase in 2019 and beyond, and raising kids, we're trying to figure out, you know, what are we doing? You know, and is there a right or wrong way to raise our kids? I mean, it's probably a variety of ways to do it. And yes, there is a wrong way to parent. But in any case, there is definitely some parental guidance suggested. So that's today's topic is this is a PG show. I'm not going to say PG-13 or anything like that. I'm just saying PG period. Today we're talking about parental guidance suggested. Because as parents, we definitely need some guidance. And so I'm going to suggest some things to you. So there were some things that were suggested to me. And some of the stuff I listen to, a lot of it I don't. Because a lot of it's garbage. Because a lot of people out there giving out information that they don't even follow. So we're going to keep it PG on this show. It's a Christian show. But opinions are like your colon. Everyone's got one. And at least a couple times a day, you're depositing some information, some waste. And in a variety of cases, that waste is good. It's good for your body to remove the waste and to get it going and to deposit it in its proper location. But when you deposit some waste in my yard or my doorstep or, you know, in my lap for me to listen to, and it doesn't apply to me or it doesn't have any really true value because you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my kids need to have because you're not living in my house. You're not spending any time, not investing any time in what we're doing. So I just flush that. So, you know, sometimes you come to a public bathroom and you find, you know, even if your home personal bathroom and you find something, some waste left behind. Yeah, that's kind of what some of the suggestions are that I've been finding with people giving me. You give me some suggestions and you leave it for me in my toilet, and you tell you what, a lot of it I've been flushing. However, there's some good information we've been getting here lately. So, you know, we're going to share that, the good stuff, and we're going to flush the bad stuff. And I think that's where we all need to be with suggestions, whether it be shows like this or other shows or, you know, a variety of other places or people that you're getting information from. If information resonates with your spirit, if your soul leaps when you hear it, then, you know, you need to keep that. You need to retain that. If your soul's kind of like, if your spirit's like, you know, I just don't, that doesn't sit well, that, you know, that doesn't go right with me right now, it doesn't resonate with me, then you should flush it. But at the same time, we need to always evaluate where the information is coming from. Who is it coming from? Are the people who are providing me that information, are they living that way? Are they taking their own suggestions? So how does it relate to parenting? Well, you know, it's a lot of information people can give you about your kids. So many self-help books and, you know, so many other people out there giving free information. Well, when I was growing up, I tell you, I'm be truthful, I didn't want to be a parent. I didn't want no parts of being a parent. As a kid, we grew up in a pretty big church down in San Diego. And I remember I liked kids, and I liked kids growing up. As being a kid, I liked much younger kids because it was easy to play with the babies and, you know, make them laugh and watch them run around on the floor or do whatever they're going to do. And it was cool. But when it was time to take them back to their parents, it's time to go. The crying, the you know, the diaper change or whatever they needed that I couldn't or didn't feel like handling, then we need to send that back. They need to go. As I got older, it didn't get any different for me. Not really. I mean, I got to a point where I wouldn't even date girls in college and beyond who had children. I didn't want them. There was a point in my life where I was really, really clear that at a young age, I needed to have a certain level of freedom. A certain level. I had some goals that I wanted to achieve, some things that I really, really wanted to do. So I understand that, you know, the Bible talks about a man makes his plans, but God orders his steps. So my plan as a man was, you know what? I don't want any kids ever because they're going to slow me down. I want to see the world. I want to travel. I want to do all these other things that were all about me that I only thought I had time to go do. Well, you know, that was an easy thing to do as you were, you know, till you got to a certain point. But fortunately or unfortunately, the day and age and the generations and the culture and the world we live in, it shifted. The enemy's really been doing his thing. I mean, he's really gotten involved in our lives to the point where having kids without being married has become commonplace. When I was younger, and I'm not that much older, so I'm not saying that, hey, you know, back in the day when we didn't have trucks and we didn't have cars and we all rode around on donkeys and horses while we walked everywhere, I can't go back that far with you. But what I can say is, back in the day, even the girls that got pregnant, they didn't finish high school with us. They went to a continuation school. And I know that's still prevalent today. But the number of young ladies getting pregnant, the number of guys helping these girls, fostering that at such a young age getting pregnant. Then you get to the real, you know, the brass tacks of it all. You've got some strange people taking advantage of women, forcing them to have sex and then they decide to have children. So you have a variety of kids coming around for different reasons. Some kids are wanted. Some kids are unwanted. It makes it tough when you're growing up, when you're living, when you're parenting, when you have to decide that, you know what? I'm going to be a parent now. And for some, they didn't make that choice. For some, they were forced to become parents. I remember very clearly I was in college. Whenever I would, you know, find a pretty young lady that I wanted to talk to and try to get her number, it was one of the first things I engaged them in conversation. It was, hey, you got any kids? I tried to make sure that the topic of their background, you know, came up real quick. I did my background check. You know, guys, you know, we want to spend a lot of time, you know, getting that lady's attention. You want to have your Mac game. Okay, back in the day, we used to call it a rap game. Make sure you had a conversation type. Make sure that you knew what you were saying and, you know, make sure she could laugh. And for me, I two things I wanted to make sure a lady would do was, I wanted to make sure she laughed. You know, if I can make a lady laugh, and, you know, I thought that was a really cool thing because if I could make her laugh, my thought was that she would remember me more because I made her laugh. And two, I thought it was always a good thing if you could dance, because if you can dance, you know, you can show that you're mobile and nimble and you can do your thing and you can always have something really fun to do if you're going to go out to a club or, you know, go out and, you know, even if you wanted to dance in your house like the old folks used to do, having rent parties and other things like that, just having house parties and having fun and dancing around, that was cool. Because I remember my late wife and I, that's one thing we really did well. We clicked well when we danced because it was fun. It was motion. It also shows, guys, that you're paying attention to your lady, because if you can watch how she's moving to the beat and how she's responding to the way you're moving, oh, man, that shows the attentiveness. That shows the way she wants to sway, when she wants to move, and, you know, you moving with her, and it becomes a dance through life. And that's cool. But even keeping it PG, this, when you start dancing in other places and other ways, I watch these kids nowadays dance. I'm like, that's not dancing. That's dry sex. You know, we don't need to have that in anywhere, public or private, for that matter. These kids are too young. Some of us, even at our current age, it's too young, because we're not prepared to handle the circumstance and the complication and the consequence of that motion. So trying to keep this thing BG, we got to really understand what we're doing, what we're after, what the Lord wants us to do. And I get it. For those of us who've already, you know, passed by the forbidden fruit, had a bite or two, well, some of us have probably taken the whole plate of fruit and not necessarily shared with others, but it's tough once you've tasted and seen. It's hard to stop. The taste is in your mouth. It's on your mind. It's in your memory. It comes back to tap you on your shoulder on the quiet, dark moments of the day and night when you are by yourself, when you're lonely, or when you're in a relationship that you think you want to be in, or when you're not in a relationship that you want to be in. And if you've been there, done that, you know what it is, and you know what it's all about, and you understand that under the ideal circumstances and the right relationship and the right place and time, it can be a mini, splendid thing. But under the wrong circumstances, with the wrong person, the wrong people, it can be a really, really bad thing. Something that could be used to manipulate people. And what I never really understood as a kid, and I didn't understand it since they understood, I didn't think about it as a kid until I got much older. When you start talking about the whole spiritual aspects of sex and what happens to a person spiritually in a contract spiritual realm, because, you know, again, we may or may not get that deep today in this session, but when you really think about the spiritual realm is a contract-based realm. You say it, you do it, it's there. It's a contract, it's an agreement. And some people have often liked to say that California is basically a no-contract state because you can get out of any agreement in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I think that's a bunch of garbage when you think about it. We've come from an era where was your word, and that was it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And that's something that I try to follow. If I say we're going to do something, if I'm going to do something, then we're going to do that. And nothing more, nothing less. We've moved from that time. We've moved from that place. But as a parent, as a person, we've got to understand who we are and what we're doing and understand the ramifications of what we're doing and the commitment. So as I say, in the spiritual realm, you talk about having sex, you talk about the binding and the connecting of two souls in a legalistic way, because sex was a way to bind and covenant of a marriage, to secure that contract. That's why it's such a critical thing that you're doing at such an age, or even an old age, is you're tying your heart and soul to someone else. Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break again, and you're listening to the Craig Carlisle Show, and we're dealing with PG. Yeah, parental guidance suggested.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And welcome back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Hey, so today the topic is parental guidance suggested, or, you know, this is a PG show. We definitely want to keep it a PG show. We're, you know, a Christian show and strong moral value, but we're going to keep it real. We're going to talk straight with you. Again, like I think I talked last week or even the week before, we're not trying to be the shock jock of radio. I'm just trying to make it clear, make it plain. I'm trying to free somebody because I'm trying to free myself. If I can be free, then everybody can be free. you know. So that's where we are. And in talking about this topic of PG, parental guidance suggested, let's talk about the ratings. The ratings on movies, you know, I think are good, and unfortunately, they change over the years. They've been everything from G to M, pretty much to X. Now, you know, figure what was, you know, I don't think there's even too many G movies out right now, because, and I'm sure there are some Disney-related stuff that may be out, but a lot of that stuff even coming out are so much PG, even with the regular kids movies, which is unfortunate, and it's Hollywood's response to what they thought the public wanted. M used to just be a regular movie itself, mature, and then they actually started getting, because it used to be G and then M for mature, and then it became, well, let's just find these gray areas. And as I was doing the research for the show, I looked and I came across a great article by Robert Vaux, spelled V-A-U-X, and I apologize if I've mispronounced your name, Mr. Robert Vaux, but that's how I knew to pronounce it. So in 2017, he's written an article, and he talks about when did the movie rating start, and he says in here that the Movie Picture Association of America maintained its rating board, which assigns ratings such as G, PG, and R, for every film released in the United States. It was a way to begin addressing the profound creative changes in the motion picture industries during the 1960s. So this is talking about G and PG and R being the only three things they had. They changed M to PG in the 1960s. Before that, you know, there was a different kind of an honor system. It says, Robert goes on to say, before the current rating system was imposed, studios followed the Hays Code, which strictly defined what could be shown on the screen. The Hays Code is one of the reasons why you never saw any nudity or heard any swearing in older movies. You know, so that's stuff that's a lot of black and white films. There was a lot of films, a lot of musicals back then, a lot of westerns, a lot of stuff that was giving you a traditional moral value, moral compass. And I mean, I liked it because you couldn't, there's so many things that we're hearing and making the kids, forcing them to listen to right now and hear that gets into their spirit. It gets into their mind and makes our kids think it's socially acceptable to say certain things and do certain things and feel that our relationships should be one way or another. And so I get the whole free will and freedom of choice, freedom of speech. I get all that. I understand that's what the United States was built on. I'm not saying it was built on anything fraudulent or wrong, but when you build a house on quicksand and you wonder why you're sinking and wonder why the building doesn't stand up straight very long and wonder why there's earthquakes and why your building falls and why people get hurt in the process, it's all about what we're feeding and the standards by which we're allowing that meal to be fed to us. As parents and Christian parents, how often did we stand up during this time? Now, again, this is so far beyond so much of us. A lot of our parents were, you know, if you were African American, you didn't have a much of a choice as to what the ratings were. You weren't really concerning yourself with TV. You were concerning yourself with, back in the day, with, you know, keeping yourself from getting, you know, we're not going to go there. Well, keeping yourself out of trouble. Let's just say that. Keeping your family fed, keeping your family alive, even today, there's not a lot of times when a lot of parents are getting involved and standing up and saying, hey, this is really unacceptable, Hollywood, what you're giving us, what you're feeding as far as content. If we spend a lot of time listening to what our kids are listening to and watching on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, that's like the wild, wild west out there. Because the ratings that I'm talking about right now, these are ratings for films that are in theaters or were in theaters prior to 1960. We're going to go through what the ratings are now. And I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't already know, anything that I don't already know. Because we're watching movies, whether it be, you know, ourselves going to the movies or taking our grandkids or nieces and nephews or even our own children. These movies are marked and branded clearly. And a lot of us are just strolling in the movie theater like it doesn't even matter. Watching people's bodies get cut up, heads blown off. You know, watching all kinds of, you know, sexual orientation do their thing. And again, I'm not trying to bash one orientation on the other, because I know the love of God. I'm going to show love to all people in all places. But in terms of what me and my house are going to do, we're going to serve the Lord. And so we're going to operate in a certain manner inside of our family structure. Again, I don't bash. I don't say. I don't accuse. This is what I do with my family. This is what we believe is to be okay. What you believe, okay. You do you. I'm going to do me. I'll let the Lord do his thing. In the 1960s, the article goes on. The studio system began to crumble, and the movies that were released had an increasingly more and more daring content. The decision was made to implement a new voluntary rating system in order to inform viewers of what they would see. Okay, so this 1960s, this was changed, voluntary. Okay, so around 1968, here come the new four categories of rating structure. G, M, which later became PG, R, X. So we changed from that in 68 to PG. Oh, sorry. So that was 1968. A fifth rating was added in 1984. Okay, so the dates are key here because I was born in 69. Prior to that, yeah, I understand you had the whole, you know, free love in the 70s after 68 and beyond. I understand you had a lot of drug abuse, a lot of changing in the guard, a lot of, you know, rock and roll was started hitting. And we wanted to express ourselves and be able to be not so locked down and so stoic and so quiet, which we were, the countries were in the world was prior to 1960s. But look at where we've come. 1984, the fifth rating system was added. PG-13, which fell between PG and R, it arose over concerns from a pair of violent PG movies. The first one was Joe Dante's Gremlins. Okay, and I know a lot of us have seen Gremlins. And the second one was Steven Spielberg's Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Okay, I know I saw both of those movies as a kid. And I know that the new ratings were out when it was new back in, you know, back in the time, 84. And I thought to myself, because I was in high school in 84, and I thought, well, you know, Mom, can we watch the movies? I want to see Gremlins. We put a lot of pressure. I know I put a lot of pressure on my parents. Other kids did too, because we wanted to see these films. It's what we thought was good, and we wanted to be doing what our other friends were doing, what we saw the other kids doing. I believe my parents took me to that film, because my parents, they weren't playing around. They were some of the no-joke parents. You know, we were the ones that got disciplined with the belt. At least I know I did. Pinches and everything else, make sure they understood who was in charge. And we didn't. I didn't ever have to think and wonder where my parents stood on things. PG-13 came out in 1984. Further decline and further crumbling of the family structure because society was telling our kids, myself, me as a kid, that it was socially acceptable to watch things that were increasingly more and more violent. But by today's standards, Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom are passive. They look like Disney films compared to what we're watching today under the same ratings. Let's go on. NC-17 came out in 1990. In response to the social perception of the X rating, largely associated with pornography, NC-17 was applied to non-pornographic adult films that children would not be permitted to see. So that the NC-17 was supposed to be, even if you were with a parent, no child under the age of 17 was permitted to be in that or view that film in a theater. Now, of course, this doesn't do anything in any of these ratings of what you're watching at home or what you're getting off of Netflix, Hulu, what even is getting streamed to you from any of these streaming devices or iTunes, Amazon, Google Play Store, Smart Stream. Oh my goodness, a lot of this stuff out there right now, Kodi, you name it. Any of these streaming services right now can provide you any content that your internet can connect to. Parents, where are we? I can't say where are you because I fall victim as well. As our kids have these cell phones, these smartphones, their computers in their hands. When was the last time that we monitored our kids' content? And I know parents, I know we can hear the content. I know even if the kids have the earbuds in their ear, at least my kids aren't savvy enough to turn the volume down. They've got it all revved up loud so they can get into it. And I hear this stuff. I'm like, hey, what are you listening to? Turn that off. Find yourself something else to watch. That's not acceptable. That's not something I want to pour into your system. We as parents need to take that guidance. We need to go from parental guidance, meaning it's not a suggestion. We need to turn that around and say it's going to be parental guidance, period. We as parents have to put our foot down. We've got to feet down, stand up, do something, say something. Put the monitors on. I just got a new router at my house. Now, granted, it doesn't do anything for wordness when we're out there on the road. And I know there's certain apps that you can put on your phone, but there's some bypasses the kids can do. And there's never a foolproof way to do it. But you would be a fool to not even try any way to monitor the content and regulate the content that your children are looking at, or that you're looking at, for one. I was thinking, I just bought a new router. And again, I'm not endorsing products, but I do like this product by Griffin. It's a new router that you have for your home internally. So your Wi-Fi router at home, I encourage you, please get a Griffin. It's got great encryption. It can protect your network, protect your personal data, personal information that you're storing on your computer. It can actually protect your wireless camera devices, your wireless security system for your home. And it can monitor by device the content, and it downloads the browser history. So here's the thing. Even if I don't have all of the safeguards in place on my kids' phones while they're outside of my house, Griffin downloads their web browser history to itself. So all I have to do when I get home, I pull it up account by account, child by child, and I see what they're looking at. Now, I get it. If they're savvy enough, if they really want to do it, they can get after with those incognito private browsers, and the information is wiped, and so it's not saved. I get it. But as a parent, I've got to do my part. As a parent, you've got to do your part. We parents, we gotta have some guidance out here. But the problem is, there's so often that we're the chief ones looking at the dirty content. We're the ones out there, you know, watching all the graphic stuff on YouTube and Netflix, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. And it could be anything from an action flick, scary movie, you name it. We're the ones watching it and taking our kids to it. Yeah, I'm guilty of it as well. Well, we got to do better. Got to stop wondering where our kids are getting the information from. Understand? Stop wondering why our kids think that guns are something to be played with, something that's commonplace, because they're getting it from us in so many cases. We'll be right back after this break. We'll continue talking about this. Parental guidance suggestion. Yep, this is a PG show.
Experience uniquely crafted gifts, ranging from fragrant candles to artisan jewelry and more. Be the lucky swagbag winner of curated gifts donated by your community of artisan. I'm Shawneen Whitehead. I'm personally inviting you to experience festive Christmas shopping with friends. Join us every weekend through December 23rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll be at Sears Shopping Center in Temecula Wine Country. To participate as a vendor or musical guest, contact Shawneen at helloamazingmarkets@hotmail.com. Have a Merry Christmas.
And we're back to the Raising Men Show, and I'm Craig Carlisle, your host. We're talking about being PG today. Yeah, it's parental guidance suggested. Mandated. It needs to happen. We've been talking a lot of first segment we talked about, you know, I gave my story about how I didn't want to be a parent. I didn't even date a woman with kids. I ran the other way. I mean, I loved kids, you know, I loved kids, the concept. I loved them more when I could take them and send them back to their parents, you know, or whoever was watching them. I didn't care. When they started crying and snotting and wanting something I didn't want to be bothered with, it was time to go. In the last segment, you know, I gave the references and the breakdown to the movie ratings. And the movie ratings, unfortunately, were a direct correlation to the degeneration of our family structure. Prior to 1960, there were so few things wrong with the home. He had both parents in the home. Now, there are so many cases where having both parents in the home at the same time was not a good thing. In some cases, it was probably just as toxic, if not more, as having a single parent. But I promise you, it was a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier to have two parents in the home than one. Trust me, I'm living it right now. I've been doing it. I'm going on 6 years of a single parent. And hey, you know, there's other people rocking single parenthood a lot longer than me. A lot longer than me. Raising kids, doing their thing, working 2, 3, 4 jobs, making the ends meet. And sometimes they still don't meet, even with 2 or 3 jobs. But I tell you what, the price, the heavy price, the heavy toll that it being single parents, broken homes, shattered dreams, broken children, the toll that's being exacted on our kids, being exacted on ourselves, is just immeasurable. Our kids are suffering, have suffered. The parents of today of modern era, you know, Gen X parents and beyond, whatever you were calling those parents before our parents, and unfortunately parents to come in this modern era of single parents. And I've been writing a paper called A Zero Parent Hero, because I know we have a lot of single parents out there raising kids, but there is a such thing as a zero parent. Because if it's in the case where both parents are in the home, or if you have a single parent in the home, but both of them are having to work so many hours, so many different jobs, that there turns out that there are no parents in the home. Zero. So the children that are left in the home are having to raise themselves. And I call them heroes because we're asking children of very young ages to be heroic, to learn how to police themselves, learn how to cook for themselves, clean, do things that can be considered, in some cases, dangerous because you don't have any parental supervision. But that's all they can do, because the parents have to do what they've got to do to eat, to keep the lights on, leave their kids with people who were somewhat shady, leave our kids in environments that were unsecure, leave our kids in environments that were unsecure. I don't know how you prevent that. I mean, because back in the day, a lot of folks had a grandma. Big mamas, they used to call it way back in the day. Whatever happened to Big Mama? Well, you know what? Big Mama died. But when Big Mama died, nobody stepped up to take her place. Big Daddy was at a bar, drunk, or Big Daddy was in jail because he was a criminal. Well, he did something, he got caught up doing something he wasn't supposed to, right place, wrong time, or wrong place, wrong time. Or Big Daddy was a Rolling Stone. Papa was a Rolling Stone. I'm not going to go back there with the lyrics of this song, but it's the truth. I know a lot of guys right now who have a lot of kids, but a lot of different baby mamas, not doing a doggone thing to raise their kids. And fellas, I mean, just because you have a kid doesn't make you an adult. Don't make you a man. Spending time and investing time in your kids, that makes you a man. Being there those moments when it hurts and when you're tired and they're tired and you're trying to grind it out together to make it better, that's what makes you a man. That's what makes you a parent. Not just I gave you a Fidelis here, or I bought you an outfit here, or maybe I bought you a car that I'm gone for another 15, 20 years. Yeah, or you know, hey, baby, I come and, you know, maybe we go to the game and you never show up. Promises, promises, empty and anonymous. It's tough. It sucks. I'm raising a young man whose dad was absent for years. He's a great young man. I don't believe he's a great young man because of anything I've done. I think that young man wanted to be great. I know he and I had a conversation outside of our house one time. I remember distinctly, it was an afternoon, and I think I had been working out in the garage and called him over to me, and I let him know. I said, look, dude, son, you have a choice. You know how your biological father lives. You know what he's been doing. You know how many kids he has. In some cases, we really didn't, because his mom thought she knew, and one of the other baby mamas thought she knew. But nobody really knew, because some he didn't claim. And I told my son, I said, look, you have a choice, son. You can live like that and be a father and have your career cut short and your dreams cut short and your life changed immeasurably. Or you can do like you see I'm trying to do with you guys. And you know how hard, I should have just reminded him, you know how hard it is for me. And I'm in the house with you guys every day that I can be. And though some days I was on travel for the job and trying to work multiple jobs, but their mom was there with them. So he had an example. My oldest has an example of what it is to be in a home, both parents grinding it out. And he saw what happened when his mom died and still a single parent grinding it out. So he knows what it was before, if he has much of a memory, because when his mom and I got married, he was 6. So not really sure what he remembers prior to us getting together. But he knows doggone sure what happened afterwards. And after his mom passed, what happened to Big Mama, Big Daddy, grandfathers, fathers? Where are you at? Some of us as parents are so afraid to say anything to our kids for fear of social media and CPS. I'm like, look, I'm gonna whip my kids. I'm gonna let you know. So if somebody want to turn me into CPS, send them this link. Let them hear this transcript. But my kids aren't going to be the ones you're going to see incarcerated somewhere unless I put them in there. Because if they're not listening to me, they're not going to listen to you. And I would rather have it in their ear, have them listening to me than listening to you, because some of you don't have anything good to say. I've told my kids on more than one occasion who acted wild and stupid, not doing their homework properly or doing some other things that I don't endorse. How are you going to ask a kid a question? I said, you know, I said, let me back it up. I asked it, and then these kids were, you know, my kids right now that I'm asking to, they weren't able to drive. My oldest one, only one that can drive right now. I said, so each one of them I asked, can you drive a car? And in most cases, they say no. I said, okay, so if you can't drive a car, why would you ask another one of your friends who also can't drive a car how to drive a car? If you already know that you don't have enough life, how are you going to ask somebody else in your same situation about how to live your life? They can't help you. I'm working with one of my kids right now. I'm trying to do everything I can to get his attention to ask some questions when he gets confused or lost. But the problem we have with as a parent sometimes, when our kids ask us so many questions, and I get it, I do. There's so many times when we get home, we're tired. We don't want to be bothered with anybody. There's moments where I just want to lock myself away. There's moments where I don't even want my kids to touch me because I'm just so like, I'm through. I'm just so caught up with the moment of the day. My skin is so charged with just the frustration of life. I don't want anybody near me. Can you just let me breathe my own air for a second? Can I just hear my own thoughts? Can you just be quiet for a minute? Keeping it PG, we parents, we've got to find a way to exercise the patience and the free will to make the choice that if you can't say anything good to your kids, then don't say anything at all. Just shut up. Yep, I said it. Because there's some things we say to our kids that break them, leave scars upon them. Because we think we just have the right to say whatever we want to say. And we, can I come back home? I'm so sorry. I don't mean. And I've said a lot of things to my kids that I wish I could take back. But you can't take any of it back. None of it. That's why I'm so glad there's certain days. And I'm thankful to the Lord for allowing me just to fall silent sometimes. Because just because you have a tongue to say something don't mean. Just because I'm your parent, I have a right to say something. I should say something to you. Something that's negative. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I'm trying my best to remember to not speak death upon my kids by being biting. But I tell you what. Some of the stuff, you know, we've got right now in society, but we're so afraid to say anything to somebody because it's going to sound like bullying or whatever. Sometimes, you know, that has made us soft and, you know, a generation of punks. I need my kids to be able to stand up. I need my kids to be able to take it. I need my kids to understand that I'm going to get your attention by any means necessary, because I need you to understand that I'm serious when I say something. And I'm not just talking because I wanted to hear the noise that are coming out of my mouth. And I want them to understand every single one of them. I want them to hear every one of them and listen to them. It's another reason why I do these shows, because I tell them, I do these shows and I post on YouTube and Facebook and social Instagram and Twitter. I'm active on social media because I want to see what my kids are looking at. So I'm following them. So parents, if you don't know your kids, you know, social media and Instagram, you know, handles and things like that, that are under the age of 18 and under your house and under your rule, then that's a problem. You're the one with the problem, not your kids. And I had to take a hard piece of advice on the chin a couple weeks ago from a man that I respected, another father, grandfather. Parents, we own a piece of our children's failure as well. Oh, that was so hard to take. It was so hard to hear. But it's the truth. Parents, if we're not paying attention, if we're not doing everything we can to help our kids become better, when they fail, their failure is on us as well. We can't yell and scream at them, take their stuff, take their electronics or whatever they have away that gets their attention, because we're not doing our part. Big Mama gone. It's up to us. We are the new big mamas and big daddies out there. We are the ones that need to be big in our family. We are the ones that need to be standing up, teaching, sharing the guidance. We are the parents that need to be giving that guidance daily, every moment of every day, doing those hard things. All right, you're listening to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and this is the end of segment 3. We're gonna come right back after the short break in segment 4. We're going to give us some tools. We're going to talk about how we can make this thing work out. It's not easy, but it's going to be a short list of things we need to do. We'll be right back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it, either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
All right, we're back to the last segment of the Raising Men Show. We're talking about giving us some tools. Let's talk about how we're going to make this thing work. How can we get beyond, you know, this thing? How do we have some guidance for our parenting so we can really be parental guidance mandated, not just suggested, but mandated? Well, you know, the first thing is you got to be consistent. Whatever you do. Some people say right or wrong, you got to be consistent. You got to do the same thing. I know I've said on the show before that practice does not make perfect, but practice makes permanent. It means whatever you do over and over and over again is going to be what you're going to learn to do habitually without even thinking. If you want your children to make their beds, then you got to make your bed. You've got to remind them and work them with them every day. Whether you tell them and show them, you stand with them until they get it done. Same thing if you want trash off the ground, if you want them to say their prayers at night or say their prayers before the day, if you want to have devotion in your home, if you want to, you know, have them eat a healthy breakfast, you've got to lead out. You've got to be there with them. Our kids are going to, they learn more by watching than they do by listening and, listening to us mandate and tell us. Another word says faith comes by hearing. At the same time, as parents, if we're not hearing ourselves do it, our kids aren't going to do it. Kids need to have this modeled and walked out for them. Show them. I know a lot of us, you know, come from a different school of thought that, hey, you know, I shouldn't, you know, do a lot of this thing right now. I shouldn't. The Bible says, you know, don't provoke your children to wrath. You know what? I get it. That's Ephesians 6:4. So fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation from our Lord. Okay, and discipline here, I mean, that doesn't mean just spanking and whoopings. Discipline here means chastening, nurture, instruction, chastisement. It means we have got to be right there with our kids, not just telling them what to do, but rewarding them, showing that we're excited when they succeed, being right there when they're failing, and keeping them along the way. Like, I mean, we understand like a shepherd does that with the sheep, guiding them around. That hooked staff that the shepherd has, he uses that thing, the hook side. Of course, when a sheep gets out of line and gets off the path, he may, you know, take a moment and grab the hook, you know, use the hook and grab that sheep and pull them back towards you, towards him, but get them back in line, get them out and away from what they were doing or getting involved with or where they were straying from. But when he needs to use that staff to break a sheep's leg or tap them to get their attention, that's also what that staff is for. It's also for protection from wolves. I know our society, though it's breaking down the walls of what we once thought morally valued, morally protective for our kids from a movie about what they're seeing happening. The society has also done the same thing with what parents can or cannot say in public. So quick to call CPS on a parent for something. And I get it. There are a lot of parents out there that are wicked, doing damage to kids. And I'm not saying that at all. I am not advocating you abusing your child, because that's just stupid. And if you're an abuser out there beating the crap out of your kids for unjustified manners just because they didn't pick up the trash off the floor, I get it. But at the same time, if your children are not doing their chores because either you've chosen not to remind them and you've chosen not to be involved with them and they've tried to sneak off and go to bed or tried to sneak off and sit in their rooms, okay, we're going to have a case in point. So we'll give some good examples. And so you don't have to listen to me drone on for the last, you know, going on 45, 48 minutes about, you know, what we should do. I'm going to tell you what I just did. I used to get frustrated coming home from wherever I've got to be, work, play, you name it. And the kids, you know, are in bed or going to bed, having done their chores. And there's some nights when I can honestly say I didn't do it. I didn't remind them to do their chores. I'll come in ranting and raving and the next morning about what you didn't do, or, you know, and I just would go to bed frustrated. But you know what? I've decided that these kids are not going to kill me. I'm the parent. And I set the temperature in my home. Came in, the kids had not done their chores. You know, I woke them up. Old school. Big mama used to do that. Big daddy used to do that. My dad, you know, used to do that. If I didn't do my chores, or if I didn't do my chores properly, because half doing it is still just as good as not doing it. Got them smooth up out of the bed. Okay, so what it was after 10 o'clock, I really didn't care. Because those chores should have been done at like 7:30 or 7:45. But when I come in and they're playing on their phones and stuff, it was already after bedtime. You know what? That's it. Room a mess. Other space in the house a mess. Kitchen a mess. We're not having it. If you've got enough time that you've spent this evening, there are the better parts of some few hours this evening doing other things, resting. You're rested. You'll be just fine getting your chores done. They're going to be just fine. And if they're not fine, it's just too doggone bad, because they'll be up in the morning getting ready for school. I you better believe they will be. Because I'm going to make sure that they're there. I want to do my part. I have to give the guidance. Not that I'm suggesting. I'm giving the guidance that I'm mandating, because I'm the parent. Part of being consistent as well, I use James 1, verses 19 to 25. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. My dearest brothers and sisters, take to heart, be quick to listen, but slow to speak, slow to become angry. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us. So how does this help us? Parents, when your kids are driving you absolutely batty, when other people are driving you absolutely batty, your workplace, exes, baby mama, baby daddies, parents, sisters, brothers, friends, I don't know, pastor, teachers, the mailman, the dogs, the neighbor's dog, the landlord, you name it, whatever person is driving you crazy. There are so many times we don't lash out to the, or we don't confront or set a proper boundary with the people that are making us angry, which is a problem. I understand the scripture we just read, be quick to listen, be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Yeah, I understand that. A lot of us don't do that. We come home, we let that stuff stew and build up and churn, and we pack it down and we let it become pressurized inside of us where we just can't take it anymore. And when we get home, the kids may say hi wrong or not say hi wrong because they're playing a game or doing something. It could even be something we told them to do. And we blow up all over them or over our spouses. That's wrong. Totally, totally wrong. And we're out of line for doing it. Part of being consistent is to learn consistently to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. Because human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. Because you can't just put some word on it at the end. I've done it. I've come in here just raging at the kids for totally wrong reasons. Or if we decide to become angry over the wrong thing, because you can't just dish out punishment randomly, or the same punishment doesn't fit every crime. If your child didn't take the trash out, they shouldn't get 2 weeks punishment, even if it's the 65th time they haven't taken the trash out. Did we remind them? Are we staying after them to go do it? Or are we just coming in expecting for it to get done without saying anything? They're kids, for crying out loud. We're the adults. We've got to find a way to make sure that as we meter out punishment and corporal punishment, that is for the right level of crime. What part of that crime are we owing and owning up to and taking part in? Are we not reminding the kids to take out the trash? Are we putting trash on the floor as well? Are we provoking them by not cleaning our rooms and not being good examples of everything that we say? Are we just forcing them to do what we say and not as we do? Are we washing our clothes, putting them away? Are we washing our hands before we eat? Are we sitting at the table on our cell phones? We want them to be off of their cell phones. Are we eating in our rooms and leaving trash behind there? Are we not cleaning our bathrooms or making our beds? Are we not washing ourselves or our beds or our sheets or our clothes? What are we doing? Are we failing in school? Are we smoking and drinking and we don't want our kids to smoke and drink? Are we whoring around and talking to people who we shouldn't be talking to, sexting and texting people and looking at content that we shouldn't be looking at and doing and talking to and wonder why our kids are doing it? The do as I say, do not as I do philosophy is dead, y'all. Sorry. Didn't mean to break up anybody's day. But it didn't do you any good back in the day when someone else did it to you. So it's not something we need to do to our kids as well. The tools you need is to be consistent. Be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. For anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure. Instead, we take a sensitive spirit. We absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. James 1, verses 19 to 25. Ephesians 6:4 again, fathers, do not exasperate your children. It means don't provoke them. But raise them up with loving discipline and counsel. that brings a revelation of our Lord. Do you realize if so many of us consistently tried our best to work and do and follow with our kids and our spouses and things like that with James 1, 10 to 20, 19 to 25 and Ephesians 6, 4, our kids would have a consistent view of who we were as people, not even from the standpoint of churches and doing one of the things like that, but of who we are. Our churches aren't responsible for setting the moral compasses for our families. They're responsible for bringing the word of God and walking alongside us with what we should already be teaching in our homes. We need to continue to do as parents and be the people we're supposed to be. Come on, guys. We need to stand up. Be who the Lord wants us to be. Men of God. Folks that are standing. Big daddies. Ones that are setting the moral compass for our families. The ones that our kids don't shudder and cringe at when you come into a room. The ones that they look at and go, yeah, there's daddy. Great wisdom. I can learn something from him. Again, you're listening to the Raise the Men Show. We'll see you guys next time.
It's been a long time.
Preach up. You got it.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays, 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.